Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome to today's Daf Yomi, which is Psachim Daf Beis, says the Mishnah, Oyer L'Arba'a Asar, the evening prior to the 14th day of Nisan, so the night of Erev Pesach. Boitkin Asach Chametz, L'Oyer Ner, we're meant to look for Chametz. We're meant to do B'dikas Chametz by candlelight. Why candlelight? So number one, the Gemara says, because the candle is practically suitable for this function. Number two, we actually learn it from a pasuk. Kol makim shei machnisam bechametz. Any area to which chametz is not brought into, ein tzarech bedika. No bedika is required in that location. If so, ask the Mishnah Kash. Uba meh amru. So, with regard to what context was the following halacha stated? That we're meant to go ahead and be bedik even in a wine cellar. Beis shurayis b'marativ. The first two rows, I went to examine between those barrels situated in the first two rows of the wine cellar. A wine cellar? What's chametz doing there? Why is bidikas chametz required? Answers the Mishnah, because we're speaking about a makim shemachnisam b'chametz. It's a non-commercial wine cellar. It's a personal wine cellar which supplies for his personal needs, for his meals. And there's a concern that perhaps he entered there during a meal holding his bread, in which case perhaps there's chametz present amongst the barrels. Now, how does it go about doing bedikas chametz amongst the barrels of the wine cellar? We have machlekes. Veshame oimrim, beis shurayis al pnei kol amartiv. You check two rows of barrels, the two front rows of the wine cellar. Ubesil oimrim, shtei shurayis hachitzonis. We examine the two outer rows, shein elyonis, which are the two upper ones, as will be discussed at length and in great detail in the Gemara. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. All the way on top says, Rashi, Erlar ba'asar gassinam. Lo yarner, meant to use a candle. Gemara, Farish time, the Gemara will give us the reason for this. Boitkin, why do we do b'dikas chametz? Says Rashi, very simple. Shlo yaver olav, v'val yiroh, v'val yimotzah. So a person does not over on the lavim. There's a lav which says, lo yiroh alecha, you can't have chametz seen by you. V'val yimotzah, it shouldn't be found in your possession. There are two separate Yisurim. B'dikas chametz is meant to avoid these Yisurim. It's meant to prevent a person from being over and by your by your matzah. It's meant to remove all chametz from your possession so that he doesn't have these lavim. Ubame amru, if that's the case, that b'dikas chametz is only where chametz is liable to enter, so how do we understand the following statement, l'kamim masnisim, which is taught in the Mishnah a bit later, that when it comes to the wine cellar, we're meant to check there as well. Shtei shurayis shel chavis, hasturis b'mativ shel yayin, tzarech livdek b'neim. You're meant to examine in between those first two rows of barrels in this wine cellar. Why is that? Achar she'amarnu kol makim she'ein machnisim bo chametz, ein tzarech livdek. Since we just said that there's no requirement for bdikas chametz in an area which with chametz does not enter, why were these barrels required to have bdikas chametz? Mefarish, the Mishnah responds, le'amru ele b'martev shemachnisim b'chametz. Indeed, we're speaking about a wine cellar to which chametz enters, kigoyin martev shemestabek v'menu yayin shulchane. For instance, his personal wine cellar, which supplies for his meals, u'pa'amim shashamish u'mid limzeg yayin. Perhaps the servant gets up and is serving his wine, u'pita b'yada, and he's still holding on to his bread. U'shayayin kala, when he notices that the wine was depleted, nichas l'martiv l'aviyayin, he runs down to the cellar to bring some more. So perhaps he inadvertently left his bread there. And that forms the basis for the requirement of bedikas chametz, even in this personal wine cellar. So we're not speaking about a commercial wine cellar, but a personal wine cellar. How do we proceed doing bedika in this place? We have a machlekes. B'shamay say, shtei shurayis al pnei kol amartiv. The Gemara Mefarish Shmaya, the Gemara will explain exactly what this means. And Mesillah say, shtei shurayis al chitzonis. And once again, Mefarish v'Gemara. So Rashi explained that the reason for bedikas chametz is in order to avoid being over on bal yiroh bal yimotzah. Tosis asks a kasha. How could that be? We learn later in the Vav that even a person who does bedikas chametz needs to do bittel to nullify, to be mafkir's chametz. Now, once he does bittel, that should eliminate any possibility of iser of bal yiroh bal yimotzah because it's no longer his. So why isn't that sufficient? That's Tosis kasha on Rashi. How can you say bedika is in order to remove the concern of the Bal Yomatzah. But once he does Bittel, that is sufficient to address that concern. It's no longer his. And there's no Aveira any longer, even if there is Chametz in his possession. Therefore, Tosfos learns differently than Rashi. He says, oh, technically Bittel will suffice. The Chacham were machmer and required Bedika for concern that, practically speaking, if he suffices with just Bittel, maybe on Pesach he'll actually find some bread in his home, and due to the fact that he's accustomed to eating Chametz throughout the entire year, perhaps he'll inadvertently eat the Chametz as well. And therefore, we require eliminating any traces of Chametz, do Bedika's Chametz, to make sure that there is no Chametz actually present in one's home. Now, what does Rashi do with Tosfos Kasha? How can Rashi say that? Bedika is to address the Bal Yiro, Bal Yomatzah, where really Bittel already seems to address that concern. So the Ran comes to answer Rashi and says like this. Technically speaking, you're right. Bittel is really sufficient. But that's only if it's done properly. Humble concern that perhaps, since Bittel is something which is it's an emotional thing, it's a davar that's totally belayed, perhaps this fellow who has a large warehouse of chametz is not really wholeheartedly vacating the chametz. He's not making it really ownerless and hefker. He's not really sincere with his bittel. In that case, bittel doesn't really do much. So chacham were concerned about that possibility, and therefore they required the bedikas chametz, which will ensure that, practically speaking, there's no chametz in one's possession. And this is to address that possibility that perhaps the bittel wasn't really properly applied in this case. Therefore, bedika, an actual removal of chametz, was required to cover all bases. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah tells us, what is the exact meaning and definition of the word oyer? So we have a machlekes. Rav Huna mar nagi. Rav Huna says oyer means daytime. Now, actually, later in Daf Gimel, the Gemara will conclude that, according to all shittas, the true meaning of Al Mishnah, Erlar Ba'asar, is a reference to the night before Erev Pesach. So Oyer really means night, and that's when we do Bedikas Chametz. But up until the Gemara concludes as such, we have a long journey to get there. At this point, we seem to have a machlekes regarding the exact meaning of the word Erlar Ba'asar in Al Mishnah. Rav Huna holds, Oyer is a reference to daytime. So when do we do Bedikas Chametz? As soon as day breaks. It's still a bit darkish, that's why a candle is required. Rav Yehuda Amar, Leili. Or is Leili is referring to night. And that's when Bedikas Chametz is done. So Rav Huna says, Or means day. Rav Yehuda says it means night. Kasal Kedaitach. At this point, the Gemara figures, the man de Amar Nagi. Rav Huna says that Or means daytime. Nagi Mamish. He means literally that we do Bedikas Chametz as soon as daytime arrives. Uman de Omar, Leili. And Rehuda says, Ur means nighttime, Leili Mamish. He means actually night. And the Gemara will bring no less than 11 references to attempt to prove it one way or the other. Begins the Gemara, Meisei or Akasha, and a raya that actually Ur means daytime. The Pasuk says, Habaiker Ur. When the Baiker came around, Boiker and Ur, Vanoshim Shulchu. So when morning arrived, which is called Ur, apparently Ur is daytime, so the men were sent away. These are the brothers, the Shvatim, were sent away from the home of Yosef. Alma Ur Yimamu, apparently the word Ur is a reference to daytime. Says the Gemara, Miksiv Ha'ur Boiker. Does the Pasuk say Ha'ur Boiker? Which indicates that the word Oyer is a noun and referring to the time unit of daytime. Oyer, which is Boiker? No, that's not what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk actually reverses the words. Ha Boiker Oyerksiv. The Pasuk says Ha Boiker, the morning, Oyer. And Oyer in this context is not a reference to a noun, to a unit of a period of time, such as daytime. Actually, it's referring to a verb, to an expression of the morning. The morning expresses light. It got light outside. So Habaker Oyerksiv, when the morning became light. Kiman Omar Tzafer Nar, as a person would say, the morning became light. Tzafer, the morning nar, expressed its light. So it's an expression of light. It's not referring to a noun. It's not referring to the title of daytime, to the time period of day. Rather, the expression and the shining forth of light. And therefore, it's unrelated to our discussion. All agree that when oir is used as a verb, as an expression to describe the shining of light, certainly it's referring to the expression of light. Rabbi Yehuda, who said that oir is referring to night, yeah, that was when oir is in reference to a noun, describing a unit, a time period. Then oir refers to nighttime. Rabbi David says, why is night called oir, which really means light? He says that it's a euphemism, that nighttime really doesn't have light, has an absence of light. So we try to present and refer to it in a positive context, in a positive light. So we call nighttime oir. So that's when we speak about nighttime as a period of time, as a unit. But here, the pasuk is simply describing the morning, how it shone forth its light. And therefore, it's unrelated to our discussion. And the point of the pasuk here, that the men were sent away when it became really light, when the sun rose, is actually supporting and forming the basis of Rav Yehuda Marav's statement, the Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Lo'olam yikanes adam b'chitov. A traveler should ensure that he arrives at his place of lodging b'chitov, when it's still nice, when it's still good, when it's still light outside. V'yetze b'chitov. And also, next morning when he leaves, make sure to leave after sunrise. And that's the point of the pasuk, to teach us this is the proper mode of behavior. Don't leave on a journey prior to sunrise, and make sure you arrive at your destination while it's still light outside. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So Rashi here is about 18 lines from the top of the Amud, beginning with the word Habayker. Habayker Oir. So the Gemara uses that Akasha. This is what the pasuk means to say. So as soon as morning arrived, dahinu oir, which is oir, kolaymar sheshmoy oir, morning which is called oir, hanashem shulchu, the men were sent away. So we see that oir means daylight, means day. Says Gemara, no. Actually, we're not referring to a noun. We're not referring to a unit of time. The word oir is referring to a verb. The activity of light shining forth. Umiksiv ha'oir boiker. Does the pasuk then say ha'oir boiker tilishtama, which would imply ola oir dahainu boiker, that they were sent away la oir when it was boiker, the tinsalima, which would indicate the oir shem davaru, that oir is a noun, the kori la boiker oir, and boiker morning is called oir, which would be a right that oir is day. No, ha boiker oirksiv. The pasuk reverses it. Habayker oir. Hi oir lav shem davaru. Oir is not a reference to a unit, a time unit. It's not a noun at all. El habayker heir. The morning shone forth. It was expression of light that they experienced once they arrived. And then the vanashem shalachu, the men were sent away. Come on, the Omar, as a person would say, safar nar. It got light in the morning. By expressing it in this manner, the pasuk is teaching us derech eret, the proper mode of behavior, machay Yosef, shem tinu asheir mizrach. Just as the brothers of Yosef waited until sunrise, we learn from there, could Rabbi Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda tells us, that's the proper mode of behavior. Aval oirshu shem davar, but when we use the word oir in the context of a noun describing a period of time, a unit of time, eina el alayla, certainly it's a reference to night. But in this case, it's not referring to a unit of time, but rather an expression of light. Bechitoiv, so Rabbi Marav tells us, Hayotzel derech, when a person sets out on a journey, yikanes arvis lebeis molein, he should make sure that towards evening, he should arrive at his place of lodging, boidacham ezerachas, while his sun is still shining. Likewise, olam machar, the next day, yamten adein tzacham, he should wait until sunrise, v'yetze, and then embark on his trip, v'oz toivle, and that's good for him. Sha'or toivle, because light is good. Shanama b'or ki toiv, the pasuk itself calls light ki toiv. So light is a good thing. How does it manifest itself? Umay tavasa, what's the goodness of light? Says Rashi, a practical consideration, v'nei achayiz, v'nei alistim, because when he's traveling by day, he'll avoid animals and robbers. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei, we have another kasha, and we're going to prove from the following pasuk that oir is actually a reference to daytime. The pasuk says, "Ucha oir boiker yizrach shemesh." So the oir, which is boiker, that's what the tzaddikim are going to experience in the world to come when they leave, they get rid of their darkness and hardships. They're going to experience oir, boiker, and the sun will shine forth for them. They'll experience the light of day. Alma oir yimamu, apparently. Oir is synonymous with boiker, synonymous with day, and is referring to the period of daytime. Says the Gemara once again, no, oir over here is not a noun. It's not a reference to a unit of time. It's actually a verb describing the shining forth of light. Miksiv oir boiker? Does the pasuk say oir boiker, which indicates that oir is synonymous with boiker, and is referring to the time unit of day, of morning? No. Uke oir boiker ksiv. The pasuk here uses the word uke oir boiker, denoting that we're speaking about the emanation of light. Ke oir boiker ksiv. Vachikamer. This is what the pasuk is saying. We know that at the first point of daybreak, at dawn, it's still a bit dark. And the pasuk is saying that the tzaddikim, for them, the sun will shine forth with such great power and glory that even the first point of that day, even dawn, will be for them as bright as the degree of light that we experience today during sunrise. That's what the pasuk is saying. They'll experience such a great aura of light. Their sun will shine forth with such energy and strength. Which means that ba'olam hazeh, the oir boiker, the point where the boiker begins to shine forth, when it's still a bit dark. Ke'ein zricha shemesh la'tzadik mo'abo. For the tzaddikim in Olam Haba, this point of dusk, which for us today is a bit dark, for them will be as light as Zrichas Shemesh, as actual sunrise when the sun is shining. So once again, the word Ka'ir is not in reference to a noun at all. It's not referring to a time period. And therefore has no relation to our discussion. It's referring to the action, the expression of light, the way light shines forth. And therefore it's irrelevant to our context. Continues the Gemara with another right that Oir is in reference to day. Meisvei, Vayikra Lekim L'Oir Yoyim. Hashem called Oir, he called it Yoyim. Alma Oir Yimamu, apparently, Oir is synonymous with day. Look, Hashem himself called Oir day. Says the Gemara once again, we're not speaking about the time unit. Oir over here is merely in reference to the expression of light, the shining of the light. This is what the pasuk is saying. Lemeir uba. To the light which develops and shines forth. Karoi yoim. He called that yoim. So it's a reference to the activity of light. And that certainly is called ur. Elameata says the Gemara, if that's the case, then let's proceed to the next part of the pasuk. Ula choshech kara laila. So Hashem called laila, choshech, he called it laila. So there as well, you're going to say, L'machshechuba karalayla, to the onset of darkness, to the developing darkness. He called Laila. If that's the case, it doesn't work. Why? Because we know, L'halacha, up until it's fully dark, up until the stars come out and fully visible, it's considered to be day. So you can't say that once the darkness begins to develop and arrive, it is already considered Laila. So this interpretation of the pasuk doesn't work. El hachik amar. Rather, this is what the pasuk means to say. Karvi rachmana l'nohirim. Vayikra l'kim l'or yom doesn't mean he gave it a name, a kriya shem. It means to say that he summoned, he called forth the oir, the power of illumination. He summoned that as she says, like a servant, he summoned it to him. And he instructed him. He gave him a tzivui, a mitzvah of the imam, to serve during daytime. And likewise, when it comes to night, to darkness, and he summoned the entity of darkness, and he instructed him to serve during layla. So we're not speaking about giving titles and names here. Vayikra doesn't mean he gave it a name. It means he summoned, he called forth the illumination, the power of Ur. Rashi says that the power of Ur really originates in the higher spheres. It has its source in very deep and elevated spirituality, and it manifests itself down here in this world as a light, as a physical light. So he summoned that entity, that creation to him, and he instructed him to serve by day. So the word Ur is the illumination. And therefore, it's unrelated to our discussion. We're speaking about when the term Ur is in context of a noun, which is not what the Pasuk is referring to. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So Rashi here is on the first wide line on the bottom. Ella, says Rashi, Ella Tritzachi, interpret as follows. Kai Rachman l'Nahira. Hayi Vayikra, Lav Kriya Shemhu. When the Pasuk says Vayikra, Lekim L'Ur Yayim, doesn't mean he gave it a name, like he gave a name to a child. Lav kriya shemu, the tema shekora eshema uryam, which would lead you to say that the pasuk is saying that Hashem called uryam, and this would be a kasha because this would indicate that ur and day are synonymous. Ella, rather, it means something entirely different. Kar lebri hamir, Hashem called forth, he summoned this illumination, this creation of hamir that illuminates. Shebara, that Hashem created, mehoid, from the aura and glow, mata luvushay, from his cloak. So, it's referring to this creation, this power of illumination. Upakte amitzvasa diyamama, and he instructs them to serve by day. Tzivo l'shamash b'yayim. And the same when it comes to darkness. V'lachoshech, to the entity of darkness, he also gave a commandment. Tzivo l'shamash b'layla, to serve at night. Kara, he called Kemelech Shekar Lavodoy Lavdoy Sheva Lefanav, like a king who summons his servant to come serve, to come in front of him. Now the Vilna Gaon actually remarks that we see from this Gemara that just as light, illumination, is an entity, likewise darkness isn't just the absence of light, it's actually an entity on its own. And this is actually indicated in a pasuk that we say every day, Yoytzer Oyer, Hashem forms light, Ubayra Choshech, creates darkness. So we see that Choshech is an entity. Just as we see in Al Gemara, and very clearly expressed in Rashi. There are two separate powers, two separate servants. There's light and there's darkness, and each one has his own territory. One serves by day, one serves at night. So although scientifically, darkness is merely an absence of light, but apparently what he means to say is that the concept of Choshech is a Bria, it's a creation which really gives way and allows for the absence of light. So true, it's merely an absence of light, but that in itself is a creation, the fact that there can be an absence of light. So the concept of the Choshech, as we learn here, really is on all levels. It originates in the upper spheres and comes down to this world to allow for the absence of physical light. And that's the Bria of Choshech, which serves during nighttime. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei. So we have another kasha, and this is going to be a raya that Ur is actually in reference to night, and a raya to Rav Yehuda. The pasuk says, "Halalu kol kochvei Ur," all light stars should praise Hashem. Alma Ur Urtuhu. Apparently, the word Ur is in reference to nighttime. Kol kochvei Ur, the nighttime stars should praise Hashem. Hachi ka'amar, the pasuk means like this: "Halalu kol kochavim hameirim." Once again, we're not speaking about a noun, the entity of nighttime. Ur is a reference to shining forth. Those stars which shine forth light. Those stars should praise Hashem. And therefore, it's unconnected to our discussion, which is speaking about the entity, the noun of Ur. Says the Gemara, how could you interpret the Pasuk as such? Elamiyat, if that's the case, the Pasuk is saying that the stars which illuminate should praise Hashem. Who Hudbo Shvuchi. Only the illuminating stars are meant to praise Hashem. She'elam Irma, those that don't shine forth, Loibo Shvuchi, they don't need to praise Hashem. Look, see, the pasuk says, Hallelujah called Tzvav. All his legions, all the stars are meant to praise him. Ella, rather, says the Gemara, Hokamashman. The pasuk which says, Hallelujah called Koich Ve'er, is coming to teach us something. Meaning, you're right. There's actually no such a thing as a star which doesn't shine forth. All stars illuminate. And the pasuk is referring to all stars. Why does the pasuk say, Hallelujah called Koich Ve'er? What's the point of the word Er? It's coming to teach you a halacha. And the lesson will be that even light emanating from a star, which is faint and weak, it doesn't really illuminate much, not really too useful. Halachically, that is considered to be light in reference to the following halacha. Hakamash, one of the pasuk is teaching us, the erdikachavim nami oiru, even the faint light emanating from the stars, is reckoned with, and halachically, is regarded as light, with regards to the following halach, lemainaf kemina, what application does this have? L'noidim in a person who made a nether. So he vowed to refrain from benefiting from light. So what happens then? The sani we learned in a braisa, hanoidim in a person made a nether to refrain from light. Also, bo'erin shel kichav. He must refrain from having enough from even the faint light shining forth from stars. So that's the chiddush of the pasuk, that even the oir coming from kechavim has a din of oir. So that's the point of the pasuk, and once again, it's unrelated to our discussion, our gemara. The pasuk of oir is simply speaking about the shining forth of the light. Our gemara is speaking about the entity, the noun of oir, which perhaps can be referring to daytime and not night. Meisve, we have another raya, that actually oir is a reference to day. The pasuk says, "La'or yakum roitzeach." The murderer gets up, la'or, which we assume means during daytime. Yiktal aniv evian, and he murders the ani, the destitute fellow, ubalayla, and then at night he takes on a little bit of a different profession. Yikaganav, he becomes a burglar, tunnels through into homes and robs. Says the Gemara, "Hamedika amar." The fact that the pasuk says that at night he functions as a ganav. So what does the first part of the pasuk mean? Lo'oyer yokum retzeach. Apparently, that's what he's doing by day. So he has two parts to his profession. During daytime, Rashi says he stands by the crossroads and kills the travelers and robs them. Whereas at night, he turns into a burglar and tunnels through into the homes. Alma, Ur Yamamu. Apparently, the word Ur is a reference to daytime. So you see that Ur is Yom. Says the Gemara, actually not. The word Ur is merely an expression referring to clarity, transparency, like day, like light. It's not a reference to day, it's a reference to light. As Rashi explains like this, the Torah allows one to kill a burglar who's tunneling his way into a home. Why? Because we know that he's bent on killing the homeowner if the homeowner would object and challenge the robber. So in his mind, he knows that he may very well end up killing the homeowner. Therefore, even at the current moment, he has a din of a ritzach, and anybody that notices this happening can approach the robber and kill him to protect the life of the homeowner. Now the pasuk is telling us like this. This halacha only applies when it's clear to you that this is the intent of the robber. He knows that he's liable to kill the homeowner if he's challenged. But if there's any doubt as to his intentions, perhaps it's a father who's making his way into his son's home, in which case we know that due to the natural love for each other, the father has no intention to ever killing the son. In that case, this halacha doesn't apply. He's not considered like a ritzeach, and you may not kill him. So that's the point of this pasuk. And the pasuk says that la'or yakum ritzeach, he's considered a ritzeach. That's only because it's la'or. It's clear and transparent. His intentions are evident. We know that he's bent on perhaps killing the homeowner, in which case he's considered a ritzeach, and you can kill him right then and there. But if there's any doubt as to his intentions, it's not clear like light. It's muddy. It's hazy. It's like dark, like night. We don't know if he really intends on killing the homeowner. In that case, there's no justification for killing the robber. That's all the pasuk is means to say. It has to be clear. It has to be like light. But again, when it comes to the question of what is the true meaning of ur, when we speak about it as a in the context of a noun, in that case, perhaps ur is actually referring to nighttime. Says the Gemara inside, the pasuk there is saying as follows, if it's clear and evident to you, like clear as light, that this robber is bent on killing, then he currently has a status of a murderer, and one may approach him and kill him in order to save the homeowner. You can save the homeowner by killing this robber. However, but if it's unclear to you, akin to darkness of night, you don't know if that's really what he has in mind. It's a father tunneling into his son's home. Then we have to treat him like an ordinary robber. And we're not allowed to save the homeowner by killing the robber. May say we have another raya that Ur actually is in reference to daytime. The pasuk says, the stars of nighttime should experience darkness. He should anticipate Ur, which perhaps means daytime, and he shouldn't experience it. He shouldn't merit to see the rays of morning. So this is Eov speaking. He had a very hard life, and he made this claw on himself. So now, the fact that the pasuk says he should anticipate Ur and not experience it. Apparently Ur is a reference to morning. So we're speaking about the nighttime stars and then anticipating morning. Ur is synonymous with morning. So that's what I know. Actually not. Just as we answered the previous psukim, that the word Ur is not in context of a noun. It's a reference to an expression of light. Here as well, that's all he's saying. Eov was cursing his own personal mazel. He had such a hard life, and he said, Omar, hey, Rav, it should be the will of Hashem, the litzvei ha'igarvel in her, that this fellow, meaning himself, should anticipate, look forward to brightness, to good times, to good experiences. V'loy lishkechei, and he shouldn't experience it. So once again, the word ur is not in reference to a noun, to a unit of time, day or night, rather referring to the shining forth of light, experiencing the brightness of light. And therefore, it's unrelated to our context of our sugi. May say we have another kashim of pasuk, which once again indicates that ur is in reference to day. This is David Amel speaking. V'omar, initially I figured, due to my aveiro with Bathsheba, and as a result of which I was pursued by my enemies and degraded, I figured that's it, I'm gone forever. Ach choshech yishefeni, only darkness, the darkness of night, will always surround me, and I'm going to experience that forever, even during Olam Haba. However, Hashem turned things around for me. This happened in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when they attempted to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the gates wouldn't open, until Shlomo made a tefillah, and he said, Hashem, remember the schus of my father David, and then they opened up, and everybody saw, it was clear and evident to all that Hashem accepted David HaMelech's tshuva, and he was held in such high regard by Hashem. And that's what the next part of the pasuk is referring to. V'layla, this darkness of night that I figured will be accompanying me forever. V'layla ur ba'adeni, the night, actually was turned into ur on my behalf. Hashem, you switched things around for me. You turned night into day for me. Alma ur yamamu. Apparently the word ur is referring to day. Says the Gemara once again, ur merely means the expression of light, not the entity, not the time unit. David HaMelech was saying as follows. Initially I had figured, even during Olam Haba, which is meant to be as light as day, without confusion, without darkness and hardships, I figured that I'm going to get a different type of lot. Darkness of night will accompany me forever due to my avira. Akshav, but now things turned around. Ha'ilam hazeh shudayim alayla. Even ha'ilam hazeh, which is equated to darkness. And he's referring to his own terrible experiences in this world where he was pursued and considered a balavir. So even this world, which is meant to be Laila, Ur Badeinu, you have turned into Ur. You have lit it up. You lit it up for me. You have shown forth your light into Olam Hazeh. So again, the word Ur is a reference to shining, to expression of light, and not a reference to a time unit. And therefore, once again, it's unconnected to our discussion. Now, interesting that David HaMelech equates Olam Hazeh to nighttime. So Rashi explains, he's reflecting his own personal experience where he was chased and pursued and degraded due to his supposed avera. The Misil says, Sharm actually adds, he says, why is Olam Hazeh equated to nighttime? He says, during the darkness of night, we have difficulty noticing things. In Olam Hazeh, due to its darkness and confusion, we have difficulty seeing things properly, maintaining a proper perspective on things. Unless a person really invests much effort to gain clarity of mind. So that's one thing. Olam Hazeh, it obstructs, it blocks, you don't see things properly. Number two, he says, not only does it prevent you from seeing, it actually creates confusion. You take a look at something during the night, it appears like a piece of gold, but it's really just a rock. On the reverse, it appears like a rock, but it's really a precious piece of gold. He says sometimes in Olam Hazeh, due to the confusion that we experience, an avera can sometimes appear like a mitzvah, which you're meant to do, which is really an avera. On the reverse, a mitzvah, something which is really a mitzvah, appears to us like something we shouldn't do, an avera. So all forms of darkness are present during Olam Hazeh, and indeed lots of effort is needed to attain, acquire the proper perspective, proper clarity, to proceed properly through the darkness of Olam Hazeh, to turn into light. Continues the Gemara. May say, so you have another kasha from Mishnah, which will prove to us that Oyer means Laila. So now we're going to have a list of Rayas to Rabbi Yehuda, that Oyer means Laila. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Do'aymer, Boikin Oyer Abosa. So the Dikas Chametz takes place, preferably Oyer Abosa. But if you didn't get around to it, Uba Abosa Shachas, do it in the morning. Uba Shasa Beer, or during the time of beer. Says the Gemara, it seems very clear from here that the word Ur Abasar is a reference to the evening. Midika Amar Abiyuda Boykin Ur Abasar, Uba Abasar Shachris. The fact that Abiyuda says, look, Dubdikas Chametz either Ur Abasar, or at second best, Ur Abasar Shachris, apparently, Almor Urtu. Apparently, Ur is not daytime. That's the step before Shachris, the night before. So Ur indeed is synonymous with night. Shema Mina, this indeed proves the point that Ur is Laila. Meisve, we have another Raya from Ibraisa to prove that Oyer indeed is a reference to night. So Rashi explains that in some cities there was a minute to refrain from malacha throughout the entire era of Pesach. The question is, at what point does that Isser malacha begin? At one point in the day, whatever machlekes. Rabbi Ben Yaakov Omer, Mish'as Ha'ur. It begins from Ur. So we assume this means the night before. Rabbi Do'aymer, Mishas HaNetzacham. It begins from daybreak, from sunrise. Omalei Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov turn to Rabbi Yehuda. How can you say that it only starts at daybreak, at sunrise? Where do we find a precedent to such a concept? Yoyim, we have one day. Shemek Tzase, Osa Basiyas Malacha, part of it. You cannot do Malacha on. Umek Tzase, Muta Basiyas Malacha. And during the other part, you're allowed to proceed with malacha. Where do we find a concept as such to take one unit, one day, and split it into two? Amar Lev, Sir Avida responded, "Hu atzma yachiach." You know what? This very day, Erev Pesach, proves my point. That itself provides a precedent. Shemiktsosei muta bechilas chametz. During part of this day, you can eat chametz up until chatzos. Umiktsosei also bechilas chametz. And during the second half of the day, you cannot eat chametz. So we have one day split into two. The Gemara soon will conclude their debate, but let's take a break for a moment and analyze. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, the Issur Malacha begins when during sunrise. So the fact that he says that, and this is in contrast with Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov, who says, no, the Issa Malacha begins Mishas Ha'ur. What does Ha'ur mean? Apparently, Alma Ur the Kamar Blazer and Yaakov Urtu. Apparently, Ur is a reference to night. Meaning, in contrast with Rabbi Yudu, says that we split this 24-hour unit into two, and the Issa Malacha only begins during daybreak, during Netzach Chama. Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov says, no, you can't split a 24-hour unit into two. Rather, you begin the Issa Malacha way back, the night before, Mishasa Ur. Therefore, this will result in a single entity, entire day, which has Issa Malacha. So it's very clear that Ur, in this context, is in reference to night. Alma Ur de Kamer, Lezer and Yaakov Urtu. So you have a raya that Ur is synonymous with night. Hezmaloi, my Ur Amud HaShachar. All agree that you can do malacha during the night. Rav Lezer, when he says Mishas Ur, he means from the point of dawn, which is prior to Netzach Chama, which is the sunrise. So he holds from Amud HaShachar, as Rav Yudah says, from Netzach Chama. And therefore we have no raya that Ur actually means nighttime. Says more, if that's the case, Ihachi, if so, the Ka'amar Le. When Rav Lezer responds to Rav Yudah, he says, how can you propose that the Issa Malacha begins at Netzach Chama? Hey, Chamatzina, where do we find a precedent to this concept? Yoyim, we have one day, Shemekhtos, Mutah by Seis Malacha. One day, we are part of it. There's a Het of Malacha, Umekhtos, also by Seis Malacha. On the other half, there is an Issa of Malacha. How can you split one day into two? That was Reb Lezer's challenge to Reb Yudah. Now, if you're telling me that, even according to Reb Lezer, there's no Malacha at night, the Issa Malacha only begins at daybreak, Amud HaShachar. So the same argument that he presents to Rabbi Yudah, how can you split a day into two? He can apply to his own opinion as well. How can you take a 24-hour unit and split it into two? The night's mutan day is also. Name Il Nafshe, he can challenge himself. Hayka Laila, the Kishar Lezer and Yaakov. How could he challenge Rabbi Yudah? He himself has the same concern because he's allowing Malach at night and splitting the 24-hour unit into two. Hachi Kamer says, there's no problem because Reb Lezer is simply saying as follows. There's a difference between taking a 24-hour unit and splitting it into two separate entities. One is day, one is night. Day and night are two separate distinct entities and certainly can be disconnected one from the other. Whereas according to you, you're taking the daytime unit and splitting it into parts. Bishlami the D, it works well according to my Shita. Ashkachan, we find a precedent to this concept. Splitting day from night. The Kapalgi Rabbanan beimam elulelgi. We find the Rabbanan elsewhere as well. Drew a line between day and night. Where do we find that? The Sandio Gabitanis Tibur. We learned it right, so with regards to a public fast day. Eh? So anytime Tibur aside from Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, where the fast day begins the night before, other fast days don't begin the night before. So, ad masa ichav v'shoisa, until one point can eat and drink, at shiyala al-meit ha-shachar, until dawn arrives, divar b'lezer ben Yaakov, Rav Shimon ha-imad k'risa gever, you actually have to stop earlier, at the point where the rooster crows. But in any case, we see that, when it comes to the context of Tanis Tzibur, we certainly differentiate between day and night. So likewise, in our case, if Malacha says b'lezer ben Yaakov, I have no problem splitting the day from the night. El the dach, but according to you, that you're splitting the actual day into parts. Hechash kachna imam gufay. The palgivir rabban. Where do you find a precedent to such an innovative concept to take exer de rabbanon, apply it to a certain day and split the day into two, apply it to one part of the day and not to the other portion? And Tosis points out that he means where there's no svar, you know, in the absence of any special reason, which would require only a partial application. So when there's no special svara, we assume that the Chachamim apply their gzeir universally throughout the entire unit, entire period, and don't split the day into parts. So this was Reb Lezer and Yaakov's challenge to Reb Yudah. How could he split the day into two? Amar Lei, so Reb Yudah responded, you know what? Hu atzmei echiach. This day itself provides a precedent. Erev Pesach itself, shemektosei mutter b'achilas chametz. During part of it, you can eat chametz. Also during the other portion of that very day, you are prevented from eating chametz. So you see that a day is split into two. She said, "More shapik amali." Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lezer. It appears that Rabbi Yehuda responded properly. A convincing argument to Rabbi Lezer. We find a precedent when it comes to achilas chametz. So how is Rabbi Lezer going to respond to that? Hachi ka'amalei Rabbi Lezer. This Rabbi Lezer would respond to Rabbi Yehuda. There's a difference between two things. Amin aloch ana. I'm speaking about melacha derabban. Where, when the Chacham apply a gzera and iser, it's done comprehensively. Va'at amras lichametz d'iraisa. And you prove to me from an unrelated topic, iser chametz, which is minat Torah. It's unrelated to us. When it comes to the Torah, the ad hacha aser achmana, up until this point, the Torah prohibits. Va'ad hacha shara, and up until this point, the Torah is matter. Shara achmana, Torah is matter. So when it comes to din Torah, of course, the Torah can split things into parts. Perhaps things that are in the Torah are more clear and known. But when it comes to a derabbanan, derabbanan are meant to be clear and universal, all-encompassing, to avoid confusion. And their gzera, their takana, their iser, such as in this case, iser malacha, is meant to be applied universally throughout the day. Don't take the day and split it into parts. V'idach. So what does Rabbi Yehuda respond to Rabbi Lezer's response? Show it to Rabbanan. You know what? I have a precedent even when it comes to din Rabbanan. Because chametz cannot be eaten minat Torah from what point and on? From chatzos and on. The Rabbanan added two additional hours. Rashi explains based on the Gemara later. It's concerned about confusion. Perhaps it's going to be a cloudy day, in which case the sundial won't be visible. So to avoid confusion, and perhaps doing iser of encroaching on the zman of chatzos, the chachamim preceded the zman of iser achilas chametz, and you meant to stop 2 hours before chatzos. So you see that even exer derabbanan is applied partially, applied to a portion of a day. V'idach, what does Rabbi Lezer do with this challenge? Harchaku de'av derabbanan de'iraisa. That's not something initiated by derabbanan. In the case of chametz, there's an issa that rises from chatzos. The chachamim were merely concerned about confusion, so they added an additional 2 hours to create that safeguard, to distance him from the issa that rises. Sure, but there, a partial application is fine, because they're not initiating anything. There's a pre-existing issa from chatzos. They're merely bringing it up, moving it back 2 hours, to avoid encroaching on the derisa. That's unrelated to our topic, where we're speaking about an issa malacha, which is introduced by the chachamim. A takanas chacham is meant to be applied comprehensively and not to one portion of the day and not to the other. Okay, so that's the end of the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Lezer ben Yaakov. And at the end of the day, we don't really have a raya as to the precise definition of oir, because oir can either mean night or day, depending on how we interpret the words of the Brice. Maybe we have another raya that actually oir is referring to night. The Mishnah says, a masir masois, ella ala chodesh shenir b'zman lekatche. So we know that in time of the Sanhedrin, they would receive the edim, who would testify that they saw the new moon, and based on that, they would establish Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh can either be established after a 29-day month, so the 30th day can be the first day of the next month. If they saw the chodesh b'zman in its time, otherwise, if no Edom arrived, if the new moon wasn't yet seen, then Rosh Chodesh is pushed off another day. So the month turns into a 30-day month, a Chodesh Me'ubar, like an expectant woman, it gets another day added to it, and the next day is automatically Rosh Chodesh. There's no need for Bezin to establish the Mekadesh, because it kicks in automatically. It can't be the next day. So the Kiddush HaChodesh only takes place if Bezin established it on the first possible day. Meaning after the 29-day month, the next day, if they received Edom, who saw the new moon, they'll establish that day as Rosh Chodesh. And the Mishnah tells us that if indeed the Bezdin saw the new moon, they received testimony about the new moon which was seen, and they were Makadosh the Chodesh of Zman, how do they go and notify everybody out there? So the Mishnah tells us they go ahead and light these March fires on the mountain peaks. So they do it all along a string of mountain peaks till they get to Bavel, which case the word gets out. Says the Mishnah, Ein Masin Masuis. We only light these fires Ela Al Chodesh Shenira Bezmano Lekache. Only when it comes to a Chodesh which was seen and decided to go ahead and be Mekadesh Bezmano, meaning at the first possible opportunity after the 29-day month, the next day was established as Rosh Chodesh. Because otherwise there's no need to light a fire. If that day isn't Rosh Chodesh, and only the next day is, then everybody knows, look, we didn't see any fires yesterday, obviously today is Rosh Chodesh, so no need to light a fire in that case. Ve'emasai masim asois, when do they go ahead and light those fires? Lo'ir iburei, at the evening, during the evening of the iburei. So iburei, he means the 30th day of the last month, which is actually the first day of the next month. We call it iburei because theoretically it can be included in the last month if the day of Rosh Chodesh is pushed off a day. So what happened was we had a 29-day month. The next day was Rosh Chodesh. That very night, we go ahead and light those fires to get the word out. So lo'oyer here is a reference to nighttime. Al mo'oyer urtu. Apparently, oyer is night. Shema mino. Indeed, this is a raya. May say we have another raya that actually oyer seems to be synonymous with day. The Braisa says, ha'yo'imet kol ha'layla. This kohen was awake the entire night, umakriv al mizbeach, and bringing korbanos on the mizbeach. Lo'ira, come morning, toin kiddush yadayim raglayim. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi holds he has to rewash his hands and feet because yesterday's kiddush is no longer valid on the following day. So what do we see? That the word oira is a reference to morning. Oir is synonymous with day. Says the Gemara, no, oira shani. The word oir, indeed, it's referring to a unit of time, a noun, an entity. Whereas the word oira, stated in this braisa, is simply referring to the onset of light, the shining forth, the brightness of the light of day. Not referring to the entity of day, but rather to the expression of light, which really is unconnected to our discussion in Al Gemara. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We learned that Erla Basar, the evening prior to Bdikas Chametz, is the time to conduct Bdikas Chametz. We're meant to do it by candlelight and check all areas where Chametz may be present. We proceeded in the Gemara with a Machlekes regarding the exact definition of the word Ur. Rav Huna says it's Yoim, Rav Yehuda says it's Laila, and the Gemara presented us with no less than 11 references to prove it one way or the other. We began with Psukim of HaBoiker Ur, Uka Ur Boiker, which all indicate that the word Oyer is synonymous with day. To which the Gemara responded, the psukim there are simply referring to the action, the activity, the expression, the brightness of light. Whereas in our Gemara, we're referring to a noun, an entity. And therefore, there's no connection between those psukim and our Gemara. The pasuk says, Koichvi Oyer, there as well, the Gemara says, we're speaking about stars which emanate and express light. The pasuk says Lo'ir Yakum Ritzeach, which perhaps indicates that Oir is referring to day. Says the Gemara, no, it merely means that the situation there is as clear and bright to you like light. Yikav Lo'ir, he'll look forward to Oir, which indicates that Oir is daytime. No, says the Gemara, Lo'ir means the expression of light. Likewise, V'lay Lo'ir Ba'adeinu, David HaMelech said, is referring to the expression and brightness of light. We have a right to Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah, which says that we do Bdikas Chametz Oyer Lar Basar, and if not, we do it Ar Basar Shachris, which clearly indicates that Oyer Lar Basar is a reference to night. We have another braisa which says that Erev Pesach, you cannot do Melacha, Mishas Oyer. The Gemara tells us that it can go one way or the other. Either Oyer means nighttime or daytime. We have another braisa of Yudah from the Mishnah, which says we light those fires, Masir Masois, when? L'Oyer Iburi, the evening following the Rosh Chodesh day. Apparently, Le'oyer is a reference to night. And we concluded with the Kohen, who when Le'oyra, when he experiences that Oyra, he needs to do Kiddush Raglaim again. And then what about a ride there? Apparently, Oyer is a reference to daytime. The Gemara concluded, no, it's not referring to the time entity of day, rather to the onset and the expression of light.